In Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, there's a little bitty part of the verse at the very end that none of us like to hear.
Well, good. Well, that's where you go.
Well, this is part of the curse on Adam that is being talked about. It says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." These are words that are often spoken at funerals. But, you know, dust to dust. But it's the kind of thing that if we think about now, it might do us some good. Because if you consider that you are just dust, then it allows a place for humility to take hold in you. If you consider yourself to be anything more, then the more you consider yourself as, the more it pushes humility out of the way, and it can't happen. Christ in us is humility. And so we're pushing away Christ when we puff ourselves up to thinking about that we're something. And, you know, we've read all these things in the Old Testament and the Proverbs and various places about mankind being beasts, all kinds. Well, this is like down to the real basic stuff. Dust. We're made from dust. We return to dust. Many times the Buddhist monks would take disciples out to show them decomposing bodies and to see that, you know, this is where you're, you know, all living things return to this state. And it might be a good field trip. We've done that before, I think, at some point, going out looking at decomposing bodies. Just one of the many fun things we do here at Trinity.
Squash,
yeah, roadkill.
Funny you would mention roadkill.
But humility, the reason I'm talking about humility is because that's the focus of Hanukkah, which is coming up here. Yeah,
tell
us a story, Harry.
On Friday, I had to go for an MRI, and I thought absolutely nothing of it. You know, I'm going to go have an x-ray or something. And you go to this special place, and everybody's being very obsequious, treating me like visiting royalty, and I'm just loving it. I don't know why they're doing it, but I'm loving it. And they whisk me in and put things on me and arrange me and take me into this room, which cannot be described. I mean, it's huge and it's totally isolated from the world, and it has a big door like a vault, like a huge bank vault door. And you go in there, and they lay you down and they strap you in and put your arms against your side and give you an emergency button, and you start wondering, what is the emergency button for? And then they start shooting you up into this thing, which was, my head went in, that was fine. My shoulders went in and got squished, and that wasn't so fine. And then my arms got pinned against my side, and that really wasn't fine. And I looked up, and it was right in my face, and I couldn't move, and I started screaming, get me out of here.
Wow.
It's the most loss of control I've ever experienced in my life. And I mean, you know, I've been deep sea diving and fighter planes and all that.
Yeah.
Nothing. nothing ever bothered me.
What happened? I mean, did they have to, just, they to pull
said,
you out of
well,
there?
What if we do? Yeah, they said, well, what if we do this? I said, it's not going to happen. Forget it. Give me my clothes. And I went out the door. I was like, I panicked.
Yeah.
And even now, if I think about it, last night, in the middle of the night, I thought about it, and I started to panic again. But I realized that the thing about, and God doeth it, that man should be humbled.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not a poetic saying. That's real.
Mm-hmm.
Being humbled is real. It's yet another piece of thinking that I'm anything taken away.
Yeah, the loss of control aspect is, yeah, that's the part we hate. You know, it's like we don't like anything having to do with loss of control, because, you know, it reminds us that we're dust, or we're, you know, powerless, or we're...
Humbled means humbled.
Yeah. There's another scripture we'll look at here, Psalm 103, verse 14, I think. It says the same thing. Well, in verse 13. Well, this is actually a great psalm. Let's read the whole thing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, and He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared His throne in the heaven, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, and excel in strength that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So there's all this great stuff that it talks about that hinges on fearing God and basically knowing that God is remembering that we are dust, that our days are like grass, as a flower of the field that fades away. And I think, you know, there's a connection between these two, because to understand and to see His mercy and all these great things it outlines there at the beginning, you have to see that those blessings are tied up in Christ Himself. Christ Himself is living in us. But if we consider ourselves puffed up and don't see that we are but dust, then there's no place for any of that to happen. We fill it all up. And at Hanukkah and getting towards Christmas time, we start talking about Christ coming into the world, becoming flesh, and about whether or not we're giving Him room to be born in us. And you don't give Him room in any other way except by this, by seeing humility, by seeing that you are dust. And if you see that you are dust and that your days are as a vapor, then you can't attach great importance to all the stuff that we want to attach importance to, things that you want to worry about, things that you get all bent out of shape about, because that has nothing to do with anything. Dust can't get that upset about stuff. It's just dust. But there's a connection between how do you understand your dust because you look at all the scriptures in the Bible that talk about God's wrath, and a whole bunch of them are concerned with destroying his enemies down to small dust. You know, he pounds it down to just, you know, that, you know, nothingness is basically left. And we're back talking again now about chastisement and punishment, because if you see everything as the wrath of God, then you will be blown away into this small dust. But right now, if you understand chastisement, you can just agree that you are small dust and be in that place of humility and watch God's power like is described here in Psalm 103. You know, all these wonderful, you know, there's forgiveness, there's, you know, pouring out of his blessings. And that we get down to the whole idea of Hanukkah is Christ becoming basically something smaller than a grain of dust. You know, I mean, just down to this small little cell that began to grow in Mary. And we did a last word or something a few years ago about the day of small things. And how everything that God does starts that way. And everything that we want to do starts as a grand scheme in our mind, already full-blown as a goal or something. And that's why few of our grand schemes ever work out, because there's God's not in them. In Zechariah 4 is the quotation that sort of nails that down. If I can find Zechariah. Let's see. He's one of those minor prophets you hear about. Zechariah chapter 4. Starting at verse 6. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." I mean, this is, everybody says that. All these, you know, any kind of religious group that has a plan wants to put that verse on their plan and say, you know, this is God's doing it. But there's a, you know, he won't do it when it comes directly just out of our fleshly mind, full-blown into some goal. It has to come directly from God, and it starts as a small thing. It says, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone of it with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." And it goes on talking about the temple, and actually talking about the temple that exists now in this, it's the New Jerusalem. But in the eyes of man, it's always a small thing, an insignificant thing. Whereas in the eyes of God, we're the small thing. But we don't feel like that. We feel like we're a great big thing. When you get out of bed in the morning, you are the center of the universe. And God's task during the day is to return you to the place where you understand that you're dust, and you either see it or you resist it and fight against it, and, you know, try and expand your, you know, keep pushing against the posts and expand your way out. Hey, Nancy, come on in, have a cup of coffee. So the question this morning is, are we going to do that? Are we going to return to this position of humility? Are we going to resist and try and blow ourselves up into a gross, weird, you know, spiritually it's just this weird, you know, if you've ever seen these, Thanksgiving Day parade blow up, like, you know, giant pig or something floating. But if you, or you see these little bacteria that, you know, that they, that antibiotics attack it and it blows up. And if you don't take enough antibiotics, it just stays blown up. But if you take enough antibiotics, it just completely, you know, explodes or something, and that's what kills it. But that's the way I feel some mornings. I wake up and it's just like, you know,
like a big bacterium.
Yeah. Well, you know, you wake up and your head's full of thoughts and worries and things you've got to do, and the pressure of, you know, responsibilities or, you know, blah blah blah. And from God's point of view, spiritually, you know, you shouldn't even be able to roll out yourself out of bed because you're so blown up into gross proportions. And the whole message of Hanukkah, Christ becoming flesh, is that he humbled himself. He poured himself out. And Mary had to pour herself out in order to participate in it. We have to pour ourselves out and return to this small dust position and embrace that position rather than struggle against it. So let's do that during this season of Hanukkah, which is coming up. I mean, when is Hanukkah? We decide next week or week from Sunday.
Yeah.
We're going to
be
celebrating. It comes early this year.
What do we do?
What do?
We go cut a Christmas tree.
Well, we are going to go to the Christmas tree farm at some point. But we have our Hanukkah play. And we eat funny foods. I forgot what. Sing songs.
Sing the Adam Sandler Hanukkah song.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
We'll have to get you a tape of it. One more scripture, and then I'll be through. Psalm 30. Sort of wraps things up here in Psalm 30. This is a psalm that is read on Hanukkah, actually. Read on Hanukkah, and it's read on Purim. Psalm 30. And what I'm interested in, though, is verse 9, because it says, "What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth?" And the idea is, in the natural way of looking at it, no, that's, you know, once you're dead and return to dust, you don't do anything. But spiritually, the answer is yes, because once you've returned to the place of being small dust and agree with your own death, that's when Christ in you can praise God. In other words, there's a resurrection out of that grave. There's a new thing can happen. But first, we have to see that not only are we created dust, we're going to return to dust. We deserve to be beaten down into small dust because of, you know, the chastisement of God, and that only from that small dust position can there be the life of Christ in us. So remember that today, and don't get puffed up. Amen.
I've been thinking while you're talking about being born again, it's interesting that to hear things of the Spirit, if you're not born again, you can only take things to the flesh. And you try and make sense out of this, or your personal life.
For those who are not here, he said this. He held up the Bible. So you gotta, we gotta add those little footnotes and things like that. You know, like people are always pointing to their heads and saying this thing. You know, it's a, where it could have been just like the sugar container or something. Nobody knows. You know, this thing here.
Narration by Garrett Morris.
Yeah.
But the first thing when you're born again is you reckon yourself dead. So the two just work so perfectly together.
Everybody ready for Hanukkah? No, you weren't because you didn't even know it was coming up. Michael didn't even know what it is. So we're going to have to study about it.
There's something on campus.
Yeah. Okay, then. Go about your daily chores. Just first your...
Wait a minute. Glenn Evans called this morning and he wants some prayer. He has to go to court this morning. And he's really pretty shaken about the whole thing.
Has to go to court?
Yeah. His wife wants full custody of the kids and more money because of that and all kinds of things.
Wow.
Bad scene. Now Glenn's playing that what if game, you know? What if they take my kids? What if I have to? What if? Something I'll do.
Mm-hmm.
Called twice already this morning.
Wow.
Perfect example.
Yeah, I mean, the power of God is unleashed when we let go of ourselves and return to a place of humility. And it's we've seen it happen. So, Father, be with you.
This morning I was laying in bed just remembering how nothing I really am, and there was a certain clarity to remember his pure joy. He's everything.
Amen. Okay, then. Dispersed to your appointed rounds.